Almighty God, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your love we feel from your presence in this place. You provide us faith when we turn to you and you install hope in our hearts so that we can share that hope with others. You are our great example of a good father, and you're our constant companion. We come today to give you thanks for the great works that you are doing in us and through us, and that are taking place as we obediently follow your plan that you have for us. Nothing is impossible for you, especially when we reach out to you. You are always there to guide us, direct us, encourage us, and comfort us when we just need you. We seek your healing power and guidance as we take our next step or our first destiny step into our purpose to live loved for you. Father God, we seek wholeness in our relationships with others. So we thank you for your healing works that are touching friends, family, loved ones who are on our prayer list this morning. We thank you for showing us your continued blessings and where you are at work when things are just confusing and we don't see you. You answer our unspoken requests. You're there for us for our individual needs, and it's all according to your purpose that you have set before us. So we thank you for watching out for us, taking control and authority over every need. And we accept that we are loved unconditionally by you. So let us join together as we unite as one praying voice, praying the Lord's Prayer together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
God, my God. great God, I will worship you. God, my God, one God, I will worship you.
Our scripture for today is often referred to as the love chapter. And a long time ago, it sparked a dream for me about a Prince Charming type of love for my life. I was blessed with a husband and lived that dream through the early parts of our marriage. By no fault of his, however, eventually I realized that to have the love of my dreams, the verses in our scripture for today would have to become more than just the words on the wall that I had. Because once you're in a relationship, it's no longer just about your happiness. It's about choosing that individual time and time again. It's about serving and giving and forgiving and getting up in the morning and doing it all over again, right? It's choosing real commitment and real love. It's often been said about marriage, and I would add parenthood as well, that it teaches you more about selflessness than you ever thought you wanted to know. And I have been blessed to say that that is true. I also found that God at the center of our relationship helps me to put the other person first. At the time that I was penning the message for today, a dear friend shared an article with me from the Relevant magazine that included these words on love and commitment. It's about offering forgiveness when you've been hurt. It's about giving your time, though it's not always convenient. It's about sharing your heart when you'd rather hold back. It's about cleaning the kitchen after a long weekend, even if it's your least favorite job. I would edit that to bathroom. It's about choosing to respond with love when you'd rather respond in anger. It's about offering a listening ear when you'd rather tune out or go to bed. It's about putting someone else's needs and desires before your own. It's about giving up that last bite of, another edit, chocolate cake, just so another can enjoy it. It's about laying down your rights to make way for the rights of another. You and I could add and subtract from that list, but the end is still the same. It's you before me and we before I. And before we want to just hold that candle to our personal relationships, I challenge us to acknowledge that these statements are also true about our relationships here among our church family and friends. The words from our scripture today describe a love that is essential, a love that is effective and eternal, a love that is worthy of our investment of time and energy. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 together. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, And if I hand over my body so that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way, it is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part, but when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. Now, for all the time I've spent about love and relationships, marriage, every place I turned, commentary and study for this message agreed on this: how surprised the Apostle Paul would be now to discover that this most challenging and grace-filled ode to love has become such a prominent place in marriage ceremonies. Actually, these verses arose out of a pastoral crisis in the Corinthian church. Paul is addressing a congregation that he dearly loves, and it's painful for him to watch his Christian friends abuse their freedom, refuse to share, scorn their neighbor's spiritual gifts while boasting about their own, and jockeying for different positions in the church. Everything Paul tells us about love, the Corinthians are not. Paul declares that even the most spectacular display of spiritual gifts means nothing unless they're motivated by love. The Corinthians spent time trying to puff themselves up as the better crowd because of the gifts carried by those in the congregation of speaking in tongues and prophecy and knowledge and faith. Those are great gifts, but set apart from love, they're not as effective. Paul uses himself as an example and rhetoric to express the amount of understandings the Corinthians thought that he possessed. And his point is this: even if he is gifted with unlimited knowledge, and even if he could remove mountains, if he does not possess and exercise love, then it's all for naught. Those who heard these words from Paul most likely responded with shock and anger. Today, we can hold these verses up to our own community of faith as both an affirmation and a challenge. As we think of all the groups that we offer, the ministries that we support, the plans and the dreams that we have through this place, how might the things we do be done with a greater love? When I set out to writing this message on Monday morning, I began with my favorite devotional right now, and it's called the Jesus Calling Devotional. And I want to read to you what that day's message was. And I want you to keep in mind that these words are as if Jesus is speaking to us. My children make a pastime of judging one another and themselves. But I am the only capable judge, and I have acquitted you through my own blood. Your acquittal came at the price of my unparalleled sacrifice. That is why I am highly offended when I hear my children judge one another or indulge in self-hatred. If you live close to me and you absorb my word, the Holy Spirit will guide you and will correct you as needed. There is no condemnation for those who belong to me. What struck me as I read my devotion that morning were the two words, my children. Because that's us, right? It's folks who attend church. It's Jesus believing, God loving folks. I don't know what hurt me more in that moment was knowing that we're so quick to judge ourselves or knowing how we judge others. You see, in every congregation, in every human life, there are spoken and unspoken assumptions about what is most important. The church is blessed because it's full of diverse theological viewpoints, programs and groups and missions and all kinds of specialized ministries. And for much of the time, there is room in the church for diversity to coexist peacefully. When resources, however, of space and time and money are scarce, sometimes tensions arise, and unspoken assumptions are sometimes verbalized in hurtful and divisive ways. Social and cultural concerns press upon the church and lead some within to insist that their way is the best. It makes me glad that we are also looking at a couple of the, what I call, pillar phrases of the Disciples of Christ Church today. The first phrase we look at is this: in essentials, unity; in non-essentials, liberty; and in all things, charity or love. This phrase strikes a good balance. It calls for unity on the essential things, the core of truth in our union with Jesus Christ. In non-essentials, not the unimportant, just those things that if lacking don't prevent our union with Christ. It calls for liberty, so that all who study the word and yield to the Spirit would live by their conscience. In all things, however, there must be love. Charity from the Latin, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Unity. With deep longing, our Lord prayed for unity, knowing that on that unity rests not only our blessing, but the credibility of church's witness for Christ. Gathering around the Lord's table and sharing communion with others is such a blessing. And it is exactly what Christ longs for, that we break bread together despite our differences. Liberty. Tensions arising from diversity of belief and practice among Christians are seen in the pages of the New Testament, and sometimes we see them today. One example is from Romans chapter 14, where verse 2 shows us that there was apparently a thriving vegetarian faction in the church. The verse 2 says this: one person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Now, I'm trying to figure that one out still. Because if I ate only vegetables, I would be weak. But I don't quite get why you would consider someone weak. Takes a lot of strength to me to sustain on vegetables. But what Paul is trying to say is, just because you don't agree with someone who eats only vegetables doesn't mean they're weak, and it doesn't mean that you don't reach out to them in love. Love for such a person, weak in faith though you might consider them to be, must continue. The second phrase we look at today is: no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible, and no law but love. Those are good words. Brian also shared this quote with me, and I thought I would share it with us today. It's from St. Augustine. Anyone who thinks that they understood the divine scriptures or any part of them, but cannot by their understanding build up the love of God and neighbor, has not yet succeeded in understanding them. Folks, the greatest connection we have with our God and in turn with one another is love. So it's on us to take it as seriously as Paul conveys it in today's scripture. Our faith will be rewarded with sight of heaven, as will our hope. But love will remain in the hearts and minds of those we leave behind. When we gather to celebrate the life of a loved one, we have the opportunity to witness to the truth that the legacy they leave behind that matters the most is love. Haven't we all found that to be true? Love is to be worked out in our relationships with others, and we hold that plumb line up to ourselves and to the church on this day with a steadfast commitment to not become as those in the church at Corinth. Once upon a time, not really all so that long ago, I was in CYF youth group, high school, and one night we inserted our own names into our scripture for today. It made an impact on me then. It made me think about how I was treating others in my relationships in my life. So to end today, we're going to do the same. We're all going to read it aloud, and when you see a blank, I want you to insert your own name. Let's lift our voices together and seek the Spirit to guide and convict us now. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Kathy is patient. Kathy is kind. Kathy is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. I will not insist on my own way. Kathy is not irritable or resentful. Kathy does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Kathy bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Can we pray together? Gracious God, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, because all we are is because of you. Remind us, Lord, in the days ahead that our abilities are your gifts to us. Remind us that you loaned us some possessions in hopes that we would help others with them. In those moments when we are busy trying to impress others, Lord, forgive us. If we find ourselves, Lord, puffing ourselves up by putting someone else down, Lord, remind us that those are clanging cymbals and noisy gongs to you. Humble us enough to serve. Humble us enough to pray. Humble us enough to love you and people who may never say thank you, Lord, or that we may never see. Lord, we profess that we are your forgiven people. Inspire us to love others as thoroughly as you love us. Amen. I'm not on Twitter. I don't know how many of you are on Twitter. I don't really understand it. I don't need one more distraction in my life either. But this week, I happened to catch the beginning of the Today Show when Ed Sheeran was their concert. You're nodding your heads. I don't listen to him, but I hear he's a pretty cool guy. And there had been some talk that, you know, how news shows do and talk shows there about him getting off of his Twitter account. And so they asked him about that. They said, Ed, you know, what's the deal? And he said, you know, this has been blown way, way out of proportion. He said, it really comes down to this. There is enough negative in the world, and I choose to just ignore it. And he said, you know why? Because there's even more love in the world. And that's what I choose to focus on.